Blog Talk Radio.
This is George Gamond, and it's the Monday show. How's everyone today? Did you have a good weekend? Did you have some fun? You know, isn't it really all about that? So I want to jump into a subject. I thought, you know, well, let me give you the quote where this came from. And then I asked Spirit about it, and they said, okay, we're gonna develop this one a little bit. And I'm going, okay. And it's not been the easiest subject for me to tackle. Maybe because I'm a rule kind of guy, but let me read the quote where this came from. This is from the Abraham material in 1999, April 25th, which is my daughter's birthday, but not the same year. So she would have been 14 at the time, 1999. That's 17 years ago? Wow. Wait a minute. No. Yeah, 14. Okay. Enough of that. Moving right along. Yeah, that was... actually 18 years ago. Yeah, that's right. She's 32. Okay, I'm kind of getting off track here. So let me give you the quote from the Abraham material on that date. It is your rules that make unlawful beings. You would get along better if you just trust each other to treat each other appropriately. But you don't. So you keep making laws until you make criminals out of everyone. Do you ever notice that in society? There are rules on the books, and they keep adding rules. Let's just call them laws. I call them rules, and rules might be quite – there's rules from principles and rules from laws and all that fun stuff. But so I thought I'd jump into that subject today and let Spirit talk to you about that. And I have a couple articles, actually, on breaking rules. Not laws so much, but rules. You know, laws are a little different. You know, like jaywalking is a law. Sometimes I think everybody breaks laws. Everybody breaks laws. You know, and they're really nice people, and they're really basically probably, you know, they consider themselves great citizens. I live in the city of Pasadena, California, and you know, we have walk signs and crosswalks and like anywhere else, right? And people walk against red lights all the time. You know, it's not a very busy street, and you think, oh, yeah, they'll never catch me, right? But that's breaking the law, isn't it? When you decide that I'm going to walk against a red light, now, I know in my city, because a friend of mine told me, that they give jaywalking tickets for doing that. And I know a city adjacent to me where people would cross the street in the middle of a street, you know, middle of an inner block from one side to the other, and would get a jaywalking ticket because there was no light. And basically they're crossing where there's continual traffic. That's jaywalking. And really relatively honest people break laws. You know, anybody ever kind of fudge their taxes a little bit and break a law that way, or drive a little too fast when the speed limit's 65 and you're going 73? You've broken the law. I'm not saying that these laws are bad. What I'm saying is that we all do it at some level or another. We all break certain laws because sometimes they just don't make sense in the situation. Now, what about spiritual laws? What about certain laws or rules that, let's just use the word rules, okay? Yeah, they're the same. Pretty close, right? Very similarity between laws and rules. So I wanted my spirit guides to talk to you about that, the Sarah group. But also, I wanted you to call in. Now, you can call in if you want to hear from your ancestors, and maybe they'll tell you maybe you shouldn't be following this particular rule in your life, okay? And a rule could be as simply, this is your pattern that you do every day. You get up at a certain time, you do the same thing every day. So you've set your own set of rules, right? Okay, this is my pattern, I'm doing it. You know, I come home at this time, I do this, I do that. Well, maybe it's time to break that rule that you've structured rules in your life that are limiting you from growing and being something more. Okay, so I'm going to let my spirit guides talk to you about it, because I'm going on and on about that subject, and I'm sure they have much more to say about it and with much more wisdom. So if you want to call in, and maybe your spirit guides or your ancestors or some famous person out there, if you want to talk to some famous individual, maybe they can give you a little insight into what rule or rules that are governing that you're using in your life that are keeping you from getting anything you want. Now, rules can come from behaviors and belief systems. Now, a rule can come from a belief system. So if you developed a belief system and you put these arbitrary rules in your life, well, okay, I'm not smart enough to be successful. Isn't that a rule that people create for themselves? I'm not smart enough to be successful. I'm too old to be successful. I'm too old to get married. I'm too young to get, well, we'll leave that one off the table. Too young to get married. Maybe you are too young to get married. You know, some people say you shouldn't get married between, well, never mind. We won't go there. We'll leave that one alone. That's just, you know, it used to be 100 years ago that people got married at 14 or 15 years old, but they lived with their parents and they had extended families and they had children at an early age and they worked in the fields and, you know, they only lived to 40 or 50. So, you know, so life was different. Circumstances were different, but in our culture now, especially Western culture, people live longer, kind of become independent at an earlier age. Maybe that's a rule that we should change. Maybe we should go back to the old culture. Maybe children should live with their parents, and maybe they should get married younger again. Why not? That's a rule, right? Have children at a younger age. But then you have the grandparents basically raising the children while they go to work. What do you think? Now we have to go to college. We have to do these things and, you know, break. But really, seriously, you know, we throw the grandparents out. Now, my daughter actually wants me to come live with her at some point in the future, which is a whole different ballgame, right? She wants grandparents around, which I think is really cool. Okay, I'm off topic. I know I'm getting into rules, but I'm just thinking, what are your personal rules that you want to change? What about yourself that you've kind of put these rules into place and they're just not working for you anymore? You know, you started at an earlier age. One rule that I hear now that people are kind of rebelling against is you have to go to college to be successful. You have to get a bachelor's degree to be successful, to make money, to earn a living, to provide for yourself and your family. I'm not saying you don't need an education, but our society is lacking in craftsmanship and people who do jobs that are necessary in society. That, let's use the example of plumbers. You don't necessarily need a bachelor's degree to be a plumber, right? So where's the rule that you have to go to college to be successful? Plumbers do very well. Carpenters do very well. I know it's seasonal and all that stuff. Or there's a lot of trades that do very well financially that you don't have to have a master's degree or a BA. It's the rule, the unwritten rule that society has put upon people that you need to get this and you need to get that to have a successful life. But what if you're passionate about building things? You love to build things. Now, maybe you're an architect and you have to go to school to be an architect, but there used to be a lot of really great draftsmen and architects that didn't have master's degrees and BAs and whatever that were really good at designing things. Do you really need an education, a well-rounded education, I like to say, and put yourself $100,000 in debt? There's the rule. There's the rule that society has kind of pushed down on people. Do you really need that? Or can you be successful without the rules? So that's what we're talking about today. So are there any rules in your life that you want to break, that you kind of got into this pattern that's no longer serving you, and you want your spirit guides to comment on that? You know, I'll give you another one. Okay, I'll give you another one, and this is kind of an interesting thing that – people have this concept of rule that once you get married, it's forever. It's 40 years of marriage, right? It's a rule. You get married at 25, 26, and you're going to be together with this person for the rest of your life and blah, 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 blah. Somehow society and religion has created these rules. But the funny thing about the rule is when the rules first came into play, people got married younger, as I just talked about. People didn't live as long and didn't stay married as long. You know, people went off to war, husbands went off to war, wives got sick, husbands got sick. So the average length of a marriage way back when, 100 years ago, was 17 years. People weren't together forever. For one reason or another, one partner or both partners died at an earlier age. So where's the rule that you have to be together forever? To death do us part. Now that, yeah, well, but so the longer people are together, now I know there's exceptions to this rule, and I don't know why I'm going off on this, but it's just a rule. It's a rule that people have, an arbitrary rule, you're going to be together forever. And if you get a divorce or whatever, then there's something wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with you. People change. People grow apart. People's interests change. Their value systems change. Right? That happened with me. I was married. I kind of lived a very kind of somewhat materialistic life, kind of a, this was back in the 80s, kind of a yuppie kind of existence where it was work, get up the ladder, get up the ladder, get up the ladder of success, right? You know, buy all the stuff, accumulate stuff, buy a place, buy a condo, do all these things. And I shifted. I went to more of a spiritual look at life where material things didn't become as important to me. Well, my ex, bless her, you know, still a lovely person, still hung on to, well, I need, you know, like the material things. I became primarily a vegetarian. She continued on with her life patterns. I stopped drinking. She still liked to go out and have cocktails all the time with friends. So our values shifted and our changed. So eventually our marriage ended because I changed and she changed to some degree. So marriage didn't stay together. But that happens to couples all over the place. So why do people get divorces? Not because either of them is a bad person. It's just they change. Or one person stops being living by the rule of what marriage is. And they find excitement somewhere else. They break the rules. But it's okay to break the rules. So that's what the show is about. And I wanted you to call in and let your spirit guides or your ancestor talk to you a little bit about maybe there's a rule or two in your life that you kind of say, done with that one. How do I get out of this one? Right? So I have a couple articles about breaking rules. Now, I was also reading a book by Pam Grout, basically on the same thing about breaking rules. The art of being creative. Who said you had to live a certain way? Who said you had to go to whatever to be successful, right? Who said you had to live a certain lifestyle? Society creates rules for us. Do we live in these rules? Wouldn't you rather be a bohemian and just travel? And, you know, people say, well, you can't do that. I remember when I was in a religious thing, and you had to stay close to your congregation. You know, you had responsibilities. And I knew people that kind of drifted around, moved from different parts of the country, didn't have a central location. They were still kind of in the religion, but people are looking down on them going, oh, you don't have a congregation. You don't have responsibilities in the church. You don't do this. You don't do that. So somebody in the religion has created these rules that people need to live by. I remember one gentleman was a horse trainer, and he would go from different racetracks and different places. Now, he was a good person, spiritual, religious, but he didn't stick in one place. He kept moving around. And people looked at him like, well, you know what? You've broken the rule because you're not stuck. How can you be responsible? How can you be part of the congregation if you're not responsible for a congregation? You keep moving every 3 or 4 months. But that was his lifestyle. He wasn't married. He was younger. Maybe at some point he'd settle down. You know, so religion puts rules on us. Work puts rules on us. Now, the workplace rules are kind of funny. You know, that used to be that if you went to work, and certainly white collar, they called them white collar jobs, you had to have a coat and tie on every day. Uncomfortable as it was, you had to have a coat and tie on. Now we have casual, in California, especially Southern California, they have casual dress. But I still see men, and which really I find this rule to be so impractical, where I see what's 100 degrees outside, and I see men walking down the street in their profession, maybe they're lawyers, maybe whatever, right? And the judge is not going to let them come in something more casual, but it's 100 degrees outside, and they're wearing a black suit, and they're walking. And I'm thinking, so uncomfortable. That's got to be so uncomfortable. It's got to be so, I know we got air conditioning and all that stuff, right? No, but it's still very uncomfortable. It's a rule. It's an arbitrary rule. You're not disrespecting somebody if you dress nicely, casual clothes, right? How are you disrespecting somebody? How are you disrespecting the court because you don't wear a suit and tie? Answer that question for me. How is it that total disrespect? So, you know, nice pair of slacks, nice pair of shoes, nice shirt, you know, no tie, or even a jacket, no tie, a shirt, no tie, a tie, shirt, and no jacket, right? But I got that straight. How is that disrespectful? So, rules. We got to look at our lives and go, do we really need to follow all those rules that people arbitrarily put in society? So, what are the rules in your life that you kind of go, I don't know. Maybe I need to change that rule. And what does my spirit guide say about it? What do my ancestors say about these rules that I'm living by? Okay, so a little bit of a plug, a commercial here, if I can throw that in. We'll let my spirit guides talk to you about the same subject. Maybe they have been, and I've just been light channeling because I'm kind of giving you what I'm hearing and what's coming to me. I thought about this idea of training people to be able to communicate with their ancestors, opening you up. Everybody can talk to their ancestors or spirit guides, and everybody can have that connection to do that. And I've taught people in the past and how that, and it's a form of meditation. It's a way of energy. It's all about vibration and getting your vibration connected to the vibration of spirit, that they lower their vibration and you have to raise your vibration, but you have to get comfortable with it. I thought, I'll do that. I'll train people or show people or help people or teach people how to do it. I guess teaching people how to do it in meditation classes, how to do it, how to connect with. Everybody wants wisdom. Everybody wants knowledge. Everybody wants to know about something from the non-physical world. You know, you ask a psychic every day, or a lot of people ask psychics every day, what's going to happen? What am I going to do this? What about that person? Wouldn't it be nice if you just directly connected with them? Your spirit guides, your ancestors. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just directly communicate and know you're communicating with your ancestors? But you can. See, that's the question. That's the point here, is you can. Everybody can. And it takes time to trust the connection, but you can develop the trust in the connection. It's not that hard. It really is. I'm a natural channel. Okay. And so maybe I have a little bit of slight advantage over most people, a slight one, not a big one, just a little one. But I can teach you how to do it. And I've taught other people in the past. Now, you don't have to get into be a full trance channel and all that stuff. All you're trying to do is get insights from your ancestors. I was reading an article, and it was about a famous physician who lived years ago. And through meditation, he decided to connect with his spirit guide. He thought it would be some famous, you know, but it was a spirit guide. Maybe it was an ancestor, because your ancestors can be your spirit guides. Your dead grandmother can be your spirit guide. So that's all it is. And they're just going to give you a wisdom from the non-physical world, kind of help you look at things a little differently and maybe help you answer some questions. And they communicate differently with different people. And so it really depends on if you're auditory or visual or kinesthetic, and maybe the mix of all of those, how they will communicate with you. And you find out. That's what you get to learn. So please contact me if you're interested in this sort of thing, because it's a beautiful thing to do. It's really, it can be fun. It can also be very insightful. You can reach me at my email address, my phone number, or my website. But the website is going to take you to either my email address or my phone number. And we can do that. And you can communicate and learn how to do it. And I can do classes. If you want to do a group class, we can do it online, actually through Skype. They have group ones, and I might be doing classes through Learn It Live on the same subject. So if you're interested, it's going to, they're relatively inexpensive. If a group class, then I break it down. It's what I said, $1.20 a minute, whatever that is for an hour, and break it down into a group, and it's just more reasonable. And the group, actually, group energy is very good for doing this sort of thing where you connect as a group. Okay, so enough, but I love doing this stuff, and it's really fun for me to help you so you can get your own answers. And you can talk to your grandmother. Better connection. You can have a better phone line connection to your grandmother, your great-grandmother, that uncle that was kind of wise when you were a kid that you kind of go, wow, I wish I could talk to Uncle Harry. Right? You can. Or maybe you want to talk to a famous person. Maybe you want to talk to Einstein and get some insights from Einstein. Maybe you got a scientific mind and you'd like to open up to, or maybe there's a great chef that's passed and you're into cooking and you want to tap into this great chef. I don't know who it would be. Prudhomme was a great chef. He was from New Orleans, and for some reason his energy came through right now. So whatever it is in your life, maybe a great gardener, right? Maybe you want to tap into this great horticulturist who passed. I know you go to school and you can do it, but wouldn't it be fun to get somebody with a non-physical energy who can help you in the areas of your life that you find rather interesting and fun? It kind of help you with your vocation or your avocation in life. So that's what I do, and I teach you how to do that. I don't have to do it. I just teach you how to do it. What's that old thing about the fish, right? You teach somebody how to fish, and they have, you fish for somebody, and they have a fish for the day. But if you teach them how to fish, they can fish every day. It's the same thing with this. Okay, so I'm going to go away now and let my spirit guides talk to you. And maybe I've already taken all of their information, and they're going, George, shut up. Shut up, George. Well, we would never tell him to shut up. We'd always say that, hey, that's interesting information. But maybe we can add a little bit to it. Maybe we can put a little bit of the frosting on the cake on the subject. As spirit teachers, we are open to anyone. As George said, that anyone can communicate with us. The key ingredient in communicating is just finding how you can communicate, how you best, in what area of your life or what aspects of who you are, that you can raise your vibration in that area. So the vibrational thing is probably the most important thing in learning how to connect with those us in the non-physical world, whether it be your ancestors or spirit guides or even angels in some cases. It's just about raising your vibration, and there's a way to clean up your vibration. And one of the ways of cleaning up your vibration, and we're not talking too much about this because George talked a lot about this, but is getting rid of doubt, building trust in the connection. And that takes a little bit of time. And as George mentioned, that meditation is a very good process of ridding yourself of doubt. And it's a gradual process of learning how to do this. And it doesn't take that long, and it just depends on the individual. And if you have a higher vibration to start with, you'll move into it rather quickly. Some of you are already starting to do it, and the vibration of the planet in many areas of the planet is rising, where people are more capable of communicating. We just want to help you to communicate a little better. We just want to help you to raise your vibration up, connect with higher energies, and so they can assist you in your life. Now, there's another advantage of this. Not just about your personal life and, whether you should, what kind of cakes you should bake, or as George said, what you should plant in your garden, or what career you should take on next, or what your particular gifts are and honing your gifts. The other part of this whole thing is spiritual truth. The reality of the universe, the reality of the spirit world, getting a deeper insight that's outside of religion. Because religion has done a lot of things and twisted a lot of things to keep people from totally connecting to what the reality of the spiritual home is all about. So we emphasize that if you, even with your communicating with your ancestors, they're going to tell you what it's really like. But they're going to tell you what it's like to be in their spiritual home. They're going to explain it to you if you're willing to listen. They're going to tell you what it feels like and what it's like to do the transition into the non-physical world, what you have to look forward to without dread and fear. And when you become comfortable that you're communicating with your great-grandmother who's in the non-physical world, and that she's giving you information about the process and what happens to you when you cross over, and you get the truth about what it's like and what you do and what you don't do, and is there a judgment day or no judgment day, and all of that. Once you tap into these spiritual truths that have been held back from you, because if you had these truths, you wouldn't need people. You wouldn't need religious leaders. You wouldn't need necessarily, no, church is okay. I mean, if you have a community of people who share like ideas and who have, you know, similar interests and values and so forth, and you community is a good thing. So we're not putting down community as should never go to church and should hide out in your own little hovel somewhere. No. But you don't need people to get the answers for you. You don't need religious leaders to necessarily tell you all the answers. You can get them yourself. Now, they can, you know, impart into you ideas and thoughts and inspire you and motivate you to reach higher elevations of vibration yourself, and they can inspire you to perhaps weed out of the things that in your life that keep your vibration low. That's a good spiritual teacher. Spiritual teachers can help you to raise your vibration, help you to connect with source energy, help you to connect with those in the non-physical world. That's what a spiritual teacher is. Not a religious leader who's going to give you lots of rules to live by. George is talking about rules. Well, you don't need all those rules. Jesus talked about rules, right? He said, love your neighbor as yourself. Just love. You know, if you just live by love, and now we're going off track a little bit, and we'll get back into the main theme in a moment. We're talking about what you really need religion for or community for is just to emphasize the fact, just the love, ways of loving yourselves and others. If you just live by the principle of love, forgiveness, kindness, generosity, compassion, if you just live by those simple principles, you don't need all the other rules. If you're considerate of others and you're respectful of others and you trust other people, you don't need all the rules, do you? Really? No, seriously, you don't need all the rules. Now we're on the subject of rules, and we thought we would gravitate to that a little bit. You don't need the rules. If you're considerate of other people and you're kind to other people and you're compassionate to other people and you put their interests a lot of times ahead of your own interests, and then generosity is primary above selfishness. Now, selfishness is not bad in itself because you have to take care of yourself. You have to earn an income. You have to provide for yourself. You have to eat. That's not, you call it selfish, but it's not really selfish. It's just caring for your needs. But generosity is helping other people. So if you extend those principles of love out into your life, and society would extend those principles of love. Now, I know you got traffic signals and all that sort of thing, fun stuff that you need to pay attention to. That just puts order and certain structure in your lives. And you need those kind of structured rules to some degree. But you don't need all the rules. You just need love. That's what we would emphasize to you. And if you think about even some of the rules that are put in place, the traffic signal is based on love, right? They don't want to cause accidents. You want to care for your neighbor. You don't want people running into each other all day and crashing into it. You've seen pictures of some countries where there are no traffic signals, and you know, it's chaos. People manage somehow, and they don't always kill all of each other off, but there are certain rules that show love to your neighbor. Now think about that. A rule should show love to your neighbor. If you have a rule, society has rules, it should be based on love. By following these rules, you are going to love yourself and your neighbor. think about it. Any rule in your life and any rule of government puts to you in front of you, is it based on love? Is it based on this idea that if you live by this rule, it'll benefit you and it'll benefit your neighbor. It'll help them and it'll help you. It's unselfish. And the rule doesn't benefit just a few number of people, just benefit, but it benefits all in society. So there are needs for certain rules, but as we're going to emphasize again, and I know we're overemphasizing this whole point, but think about it. Look at a rule, any rule that you see in society, any law that you see in society, is it based on love? Is it based on love towards your neighbor, your community? Is it based on love towards yourself? Or is it an arbitrary rule to control people? Is it a rule just to control people and it's not based on love? What do you think? Look at your rules. Look at your laws. Are they based on love? A love of one's neighbor? A love of oneself? Or are they rules to control you? To limit your activities? To limit who you are? I mean, you've had plenty of those rules in your society, right? You can't. The law is you can't marry a certain type of people. The law is a certain people can't go into certain bathrooms. Is that based on love? Or is that just control based on somebody's prejudice, their own fears? Is it based on fear or is it based on love? They're using these laws to control based on their fears. If you made laws based on love, it would be a whole different thing. So look at your laws. When you get all upset about something and you see something that bothers you and you kind of, or a law, is that law based on fear or is it based on love? Is it a law because somebody's fearful of something, or is it a law based on love? And it's a love for the community, love for society, love for the country, love for yourself. So we would say, look at your laws, weed them out based on love or fear. Is it about control or is it about love? Is it about generosity and kindness and compassion? Or is it based on fear, anxiety, frustration, all of those negative energies? So we're going to off track here, but the basic concept of the show is about rules and laws, and we wanted to kind of put our thoughts on that because we want you to think in terms of those. When you make laws, when you live by laws, you change laws. Change laws that are based on fear and control. Implement laws that are based on love, that are based on kindness, that are based on compassion. The United States, you had this law about immigration and allowing people to come into the country or not letting people come into the country from certain societies. And I know there's certain structures and so forth. We know that. We understand that. But are those laws based on love and compassion and kindness and generosity of spirit and forgiveness? Or are those laws based on control and fear? Now we're asking the question. I mean, you decide. We're not telling you what to do. But when you look at immigration laws, and most recently you have these young people that lived in the United States at a very early age and parents came illegally, we'll just use that word, they came to seek a better life. Well, we're not trying to liberal or conservative here. We're just giving you a spiritual take on this. You may agree or disagree, but that's your choice. People came into this country, brought into this country at an early age, and they developed themselves into a society and have adopted the society, and they've become part of the society, and they really don't know their homeland. Now, where does love play here? Think about it. Where does love play in his? The generosity, the forgiveness, the kindness, the compassion towards these people? Or do you base it on some kind of fear? So what's the action being taken here? Is it based on fear? They're going to take my job. We got to live by a rule. We got to live by a law. Was that law based on love or is that based on fear? Think about it. When you start to apply these rules and laws in your society, what are they based on? Love or fear? Control? Discipline? Unreasonableness? Are they based on compassion? Open-heartedness? generosity, acceptance. Of course, we agree that there needs to be a system, you know, a legitimate system to monitor, I guess you'd use that word, and we're trying to look for a better word that George might have, on bringing people into the country. But once they've gotten in, what do you do with them? How do you treat them? Especially young people. That's what we look at it and go, how are you treating these people with love? Are you treating these people with fear? Think about it. I know it's a hot topic for many of you. Many, there's two sides to this issue, but always look at things from a principle of love or fear. Is it loving? Is it kind? Is it compassionate? Is it generous? Is it something open-heartedness? Is it an acceptance? You know, you have, a lot of countries have this policy that we want to accept people because we're kind and we're generous, and we know that these people can contribute to our society. Not because we fear them. And we fear what they'll do. And that, oh, if we don't have a law, that will be inundated. That's fear, right? If we don't have a law in place that restricts this thing so tightly, that will be inundated, will be taken over. So there needs to be process and procedures, but the procedures and process and the law should be based on love. Any law that you put in place should be based on love. Think about it. Think about your laws. You may disagree with us. You may think, what is that all about? That's craziness. But we want you to look at life from the eyes of love, from the principles of love, the aspects of love, from compassion, from forgiveness, from kindness, from generosity, from trust, respect, appreciation. Now, let's play with that word appreciation here. Like, with people coming into your country, can you appreciate their talents and abilities and how they would contribute to the society? They're doing things that you wouldn't do or people in your community wouldn't do. Are they taking on responsibilities that you would never take on because of their lack of education, because of their skill sets, because of the environment they grew up in, maybe their abilities, their talents? Appreciation. You have a great artist that comes into your country from another country, may even sneak into your country, but it's a great artist and creates beautiful paintings and beautiful artwork. Do you appreciate that? Or do you just want to kick that person out because they broke a law? Think about it. Is that based on love? Is that law? Is laws so inflexible that they can't be massaged by love and justice? What do you think about it? Can laws be massaged, looked at, twisted, turned a little bit? Are they so rigid that you can't apply love to them? Okay, we're going way off in here in a tangent because we feel it's so important for you to start looking at your lives and people around you and the rules and laws that you have and really look at it from the eyes of love, and that any law that you have, can it be massaged by love? Can it be more open by love? Less inflexible, more flexible with the principles of love. So think about it. Apply it in your society. Your society will just grow and prosper when you look things through the eyes of love. And your laws will shift and change based on love. So we're going to leave you there because I know we're running out of time. George wanted some things to cover. And so thank you for listening. Bye. That was my spirit guides. And they went off. And we're almost out of time. I'm amazed that they talked that long. So they really had a lot to say. And I hope you appreciate it. I would encourage anybody, just go back and listen to that one section again. Wow. Okay, I'm just going, wow. So what do I have left to talk about? Because they've talked about everything. There's certain rules, I think. This is really cool. It's from crosswork.com. It's a Christian article, but it's how to break the religious rules without breaking yourself. Whitney Hoppler is the author, and I don't know. She's a contributor to the magazine. And let me just go through some of her points, and I think it's really interesting, and I would have to agree with a lot of what she has to say, not from necessarily a religious perspective, but from a spiritual perspective. Place your faith in God, not religion. Ask yourself honestly if your allegiance is simply to good moral habits and churchly routines, or is it directly to God? Rather than placing your faith in believing and doing what's right and then relying on your own efforts to accomplish it, place your faith in God, trusting Him completely to lead you and empower. Place your faith in God, not religion. You know, the rules like of religion, and I think that's the point here, is that religion creates rules and laws, and you got to live by those. But are they principled? And I would apply what my spirit guide said here to this one, in the sense of, are the laws in religion based on love? Or are they based on some arbitrary way of controlling you? Realize that God doesn't think like you do. I think this is a good point. Religious people are often disappointed when God doesn't act according to their assumptions, how He should act, should or will act. Accept the fact that God may choose to act in ways that are radically different from what you expect or desire, but trust in Him to do what's best, relying on the universe to bring you something greater and better than you even asked for. That's the law of attraction being applied here, right? That the universe will bring you, you're asking for something, and the universe will analyze what you're looking for and what you want, and will bring it to you in a better way, a better package than you expected. That's an interesting point, isn't it? Okay, let me move on to the next point. I'm just going to keep going from there. I like this one. Find the beauty in brokenness. This is a good article, and I should post this on Facebook. Share this on Facebook, because I think of people, if you're with me on Facebook, you can read this, because I will get through the whole article, because I don't have time to get through the whole article, because I think I'm running out of time as it is. I've got 3 minutes left. So maybe I can highlight one more point, and then we'll go on. Find beauty in the brokenness. While religion urges you to try to fix the brokenness in your life, yeah, the rules, right, the laws, God often calls you to accept the brokenness because it's a powerful tool to draw closer to Him. Brokenness has the power to mold your character into a unique shape God intended it for it. Okay, so let me kind of go into my little thing about that. You can't be perfect. There is no such thing as perfection. And sin is just missing the mark. So brokenness could be sin, right? We'll use the word sin here. But you learn from it. You make a mistake. That's your brokenness. You improve yourself constantly. You're getting better every day because you look at your mistakes and go, yeah, I can do better. You know, I need to change that. That didn't work for me. So you're looking at yourself from the idea of love. I love myself. I love who I am, and I love who I'm becoming. And I make mistakes along the way. I'm going to be a better person tomorrow, the next week, next month. And I'm not going to let my mistakes, call them sins, beat me down into submission. So where I'm just like, oh, I'll never be anything. I'm a loser. No, you are no losers. There are no losers, okay? There are no losers. Okay, so, we're almost out of time. So the next one is look beyond your appearance. Okay, so I'm not going to get into that one. Maybe just read it on Facebook. Just read our article on Facebook. I will be back tomorrow. I'm not sure what we're going to talk about because Spirit just kind of directs me to where I'm going. So, once again, if you want to channel reading, contact me. If you want to have my spirit guides or your ancestors or a famous person communicate to you, kind of like my spirit guides just did on that particular topic and give you insights. It's not me. I go away. I'm like observing, and like you would be observing what the discussion is. So the price is really reasonable. $1.20 a minute, minimum is 10 minutes. And you can let my spirit guides talk to you, or maybe it's your ancestors, or maybe it's a famous person who understands your particular field of endeavor. Or if you want to get into a class, let me know. If you want to get into a class and learning how to do it yourself, let me know. We can set up classes, even on the internet, you know, through Skype and through other means. We can learn to do, I can set up a class even through Learn It Live, where you can go through them. And I just get enough interest, I'll do that, and I'll set up a class. So let me know if you want to learn how to do it, if you want to raise your vibration up to the place where you can basically communicate with anyone you want to communicate in the non-physical world. I love you guys. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye.